Apple has a problem we'd all like to have. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Apple, one of the richest companies on the planet, will report quarterly profits this afternoon. Something to watch, the massive pyramid of cash the company's built out of all the individual contributions consumers have made to buying iPhones, iPads, and MacBooks. You can practically see that pile of cash from space. It was close to $250 billion 3 months ago, and it could top that level today. What does one do with $250 billion? Here's Marketplace's Marielle Segarra.
Apple's big old pile of cash gives the company freedom to make big bets with innovation. Rita McGrath teaches at Columbia Business School.
That amount of cash is a big safety net and buffer in case one of their big bets goes wrong.
McGrath says the cash also gives Apple negotiating power. If its partners don't like the terms of an agreement,
Apple's perfectly capable of saying, well, you know, we'll go find somebody else. And if necessary, we can even fund a competitor's development of the technologies.
Apple could use the cash to buy companies. It tends to stick to smaller acquisitions. But Anindo Ghosh, a professor at the NYU Stern School of Business, says there is pressure on cell phone manufacturers to buy firms that do other things, like create content.
There's not a whole lot of money to be made in the core products because the margins are not that high. So let's try to diversify and get into some of the other spaces.
Most of Apple's cash is held overseas. So if it wants to do any of these things in the U.S., it'll face our corporate tax rate. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
For the first time as president, Donald Trump has said aloud he is actively considering breaking up big banks. As we've reported in the past, it's about making commercial banking separate from fancy investment banking, an echo of Depression-era banking laws. Trump told Bloomberg News, "I'm looking at it right now." Stock prices dropped for a time when those comments hit the wires yesterday. Insurance on a house or car, you and your insurance company are united in the hope that you never have to use the policy. But a lot of people have needed their policies recently, contributing to the worst set of quarterly profits for property insurers in more than 20 years. Marketplace's Ryan Kyloth explains.
Hailstorms, ice storms, and tornadoes.
We're seeing billion-dollar natural disasters becoming more and more common.
Laura Lightbody is a disaster researcher at Pew Charitable Trusts. She says, sure, more disasters mean more insurance payouts. In an average year over the last few decades, insurance companies would have shelled out roughly $4.5 billion for weather damage by now. But Jayantha Gwynn, who models disaster risk for AIR Worldwide, says,
what we have experienced this year so far is about $6 billion.
A 33% increase. And as payouts rise, so does your insurance bill. Premiums for car and home insurance are going up. Gwynn says,
especially given that the climate is changing, weather seems to be getting more volatile. This is something that all our clients are concerned with.
His clients are insurance companies, so they want him to forecast as precisely as possible just when lightning will strike, your car or your house, and their bottom line. In New York, I'm Ryan Kyloth for Marketplace.
Later this morning, we'll get details of this year's Equality Index, which looks at progress for racial groups using measures such as economics, education, health, social justice, and civic engagement. The Equality Index for African Americans has ticked up just slightly this year, meaning a sliver of progress. Joining us in transit to Washington, D.C. is Mark Morial, the president of the National Urban League, which has published this Equality Index for about the last four decades.
We still see wide disparities between blacks and whites, and we see disparities between Latinos and whites. We've noted in this year's report that when it comes to education and health, those disparities have slightly narrowed, not significantly, but I think it's important whenever there's a narrowing, because change comes over time, that we in fact note those changes.
Mr. Muriel, Marketplace and Edison Research just did a scientific public opinion survey, and among the things it found is that 83% or so of Americans support major infrastructure initiative in America. That fits into something that you're finding as well, something that you're calling for.
Oh, yes. And look, we've long been strong supporters of infrastructure investment. The National Urban League is releasing its Main Street Marshall Plan, which is a $4 trillion plan over 10 years, $2 trillion for human infrastructure, meaning education, workforce, job training, and $2 trillion for physical infrastructure, roads, bridges, transit systems, airports, water systems, school buildings, public libraries, community facilities.
$4 trillion, trillion with a T, that's a lot of money.
So it's bigger than some of the plans that have been out there. The president's talked about $1 trillion. We think $1 trillion is not enough. The American Society of Civil Engineers have talked about $4 trillion. That's a big, ambitious leap. By doing that, we can create jobs. If it's done right, meaning there's a job training component to it, it doesn't just focus on big marquee projects like fancy bridges and highways, but also on community facilities. You could get something that would be a real game changer in this country.
Mark Muriel is president of the National Urban League. Mr. Muriel, thank you for this.
Thank you.
And before we go, a South Korean company has a Bluetooth device that alerts your smartphone that it's time to change the baby's diaper. It's a little puck-like thing you toss in there that measures temperature, humidity, and gas. The company is called Monit, and the device is supposed to start shipping this summer. It was my experience that if you're paying any kind of attention, there's plenty of non-electronic data to indicate it's time for change. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Daniel Ramirez. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.